One more time. Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are
Hola,
we doing?
I'm Lenise Castro.
I don't Hello? Even roll my R's when I say my name.
Swadika?
Yes.
I'm Osama Ligboa.
Hello. I'm Amanda Wacker.
And we are the Triplicates. Welcome to the last episode
of this season.
Of this school year.
Wait, yes. Are we doing for real?
Hello, I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola, I am Lenise Castro.
Swadika, I'm Osama Ligboa.
And we are the Triplicates. Welcome to the last episode of this school year. I know.
Gasp.
Cries. If you don't know us, welcome. If you're coming back, thank you. We are three first-gen women of color in our first year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
I mean, now technically you're rising second years.
I know.
Years.
That's why we're going to...
Kind of makes us nervous.
Well, are we second years after we do our first year exam?
Yeah, but we're rising second years. You know, we're at the
we're
end of our first year.
We're slowly going up the escalator. Yeah. But it's off, yes. You know?
Anyways. The last episode we had... We took a look back as to how we got here... Where we started, and then revealed what labs we had joined.
Yes.
We found our five ever homes.
So cute.
So that was super exciting. Now most of us have been in the lab as a full-fledged PhD student for a while.
Most? You mean two out of three?
Well, not all. Well, she's all been there like a couple
like
weeks.
Forever.
Now,
well, if you count rotation.
That's true.
We've been there since March.
We're doing great, guys. Yeah, March.
March 29th.
Mm-hmm.
That's my start date.
Now, this episode, Osama, what we be doing?
What we be doing?
So we thought it would be nice to wrap up the school year by giving you sort of like a one-stop shop of advice for how to survive your first year of grad school.
Yes.
So if you've been listening, you know we reflect on... Whatever is happening during that time of year in our program, and we have been giving you tips here and there, but we thought it would be nice for this episode to have all the useful ones.
Yes, just like very quick Triplicates declassified first year school survival guide.
Survival guide.
Should we do it in chronological order then?
I think, yeah, Ooh. let's start rotations. And I mean, like, boot camp is, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And also, like, people are going to have different boot camps than our virtual boot camp. So, like, I don't know if I can give them advice.
Yeah.
But definitely we should start with rotations because that's, like, if you're going into grad school, that's, like, or if you're going into grad school and in a rotation program, that's, yeah. like, the biggest, like,
mm-hmm.
how, what,
yeah,
when.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have a pre-rotation.
Sure.
Tip. Mm-hmm. So some of you superstars might be doing internships before you come to a PhD program. Me, myself, and I, we were in the middle of a panorama. I took a break. I said, peace out. This is my bed. We're going to be best friends all summer. But one thing I did do was I took a look at the faculty list again so that when it came to choosing rotations,
mm-hmm.
I had a list of people I thought did cool science, and I had little stars next to the names that I really wanted to rotate with.
Aww.
So it made choosing rotations, when it actually came to choosing them, a little less jarring,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great yeah.
pre-tip.
I think I went through the faculty list like two or three times.
Yeah, same.
And so even when we were in bootcamp, I'm like, let me reevaluate these people.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Someone got home.
Oh, so I'm happy they're safe.
Let me say that.
Cute.
Osama, do you have a...
I think I did something similar where I looked at the faculty list, but I didn't do that until I got here because I was working the whole time before coming here. So I was already like booked with everything.
Booked and busy.
Booked and busy and paid. sorry, not to make you feel bad, but that was supposed to be a stab at how grad students should be paid more.
Hello.
Yeah. As soon as we got the go ahead of, hey, start thinking about who you want to rotate with. They sent us like a spreadsheet, I think. Right. And I just filtered by like field of interest, available for a certain rotation slot or not. Mm-hmm. And
oh my gosh, you filtered the Excel spreadsheet. I didn't even think about that. I was just scrolling.
It's okay. And another thing was whether or not we needed to do some like preliminary work before starting. So some of them would say like, oh, you can't start until this date, or we're going to do this virtually and do these things. So a funny anecdote was from my first rotation with Matt Doherty, who's now Lanise's PI. Mm-hmm. He said something like computational background would be a plus. And oh, I was like, I have very little, but I'm going to go for it. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be fine.
The same.
Yeah, I will say if they give you a list. Well, first and foremost, if you are unfamiliar, which I was. I thought every year they took rotation students like everyone just did. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. So we have a spreadsheet. Our department at least has a spreadsheet that says these are the people that said they would be taking people and these are the people that said they're not. But some of the people on the spreadsheet that said they weren't taking people actually did take rotation students. So like email anyways, even if it's like kind of annoying, it's not really like people change their mind. And if you're like a really good fit or have like a really nice background that would fit into their research, like it's worth sending an email. It takes like 5 minutes.
Yes.
They're just humans. Like, don't be scared to email faculty. Like they want to be supporting of you. Like, it's like grad school is like, I thought the point of colleges, or at least like double leveled colleges, was like for undergrads. But now I'm realizing a lot of it revolves around the grad students and their research.
How so?
Like, we teach the undergrad students. We run the labs. We do the lab work. The researchers, like the PIs write the grants and stuff, but like it's postdocs and grad students that are in the lab doing the research, and all these big schools are known for their research and the R1 institution, and that's why they have all this money in the biology program is because grad students and postdocs are pushing the research forward.
Yes.
And like PIs are supporting and like, you know, guiding and whatever, but like we're the ones doing the work, and like we're the ones grading all the tests that undergrads do, and we're the ones running the labs that all the undergrads need to take to get their degree. Like,
it's almost like the institutions wouldn't run without us.
I wonder if that will be a point of contention later.
On that note, though, when I was doing a micro rotation, which was a small version of a rotation, but during boot camp, so in the summer. I was talking to this PI and he said, you know, here are some just like very quick advice. You can do your research, take it at your own pace, make sure your lab's okay with that, whatever. When it comes to teach, make sure you're really good at that because the university really cares about you teaching because that's how you make the money. And I was like, oh, I didn't think of it like that before because like, you know, you get a like stipend when you're teaching. So like that is literally money for them. Mm-hmm. But also if you teach it well, they can, you know, go to the parents and be like, look, this is quality right here.
Great education.
Yes.
At this university.
Give us money.
Taught by graduate students who are just trying to also get a degree.
I know. Like I never thought of my TAs like that before, that they're like doing, you know, like I know that they teach us stuff and that to like undergrads, that's like cool because I'm learning stuff from a grad student. But to the university, that's literally money making.
We're like workers. LOL.
Yes. Throwback to the union episode.
LOL. Universities are a pyramid scheme.
It's a multi-level marketing scheme.
Oh my God.
It is technically, I feel like it falls under the like technical definition. You like recruit people.
Kind of wild.
There's like one person at the top. You like slowly try to get them to level up. Anyways.
Capitalism.
What are you talking about? Point.
Rotation tips.
Yes. Don't be scared to email people.
Yeah.
Start early. Even well, our program was like, don't email people till we tell you to. Just email people.
Also, when she says don't be scared to email people, she means don't be scared to send that double email, triple email, in fact, sometimes.
Yeah, that hit mm-hmm. that reply all.
Yeah.
Hey, just wanted to check in about. Just
checking in.
Mm-hmm. Just touch base on this previous email.
How's it going?
Sometimes they are busy. I seen my PI's email. He got a bajillion emails.
Yeah.
A bajillion emails. Like, don't be scared to. And, like, sometimes it's good to time it. Like, I try to time mine at, like, 9 a.m. or, like, around then. So, it's, like, that's when they're sitting down and it'll be at the top of their thing. Mm. Like, if you send it, like, Saturday morning, by the time Monday rolls around, they've probably gotten 72 emails between then.
So, yeah. Wow, that is a hot tip.
Yeah. That Google schedule send is your friend.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice. Also, I think the biggest thing for rotating is talk to other grad students about mm-hmm. what, like, their experiences. Because if you're using a rotation as a test run for maybe joining the lab, mm-hmm. you don't really want to waste your time and energy in a lab that's not a good fit for you. And you can kind of pre-screen them by talking to graduate students.
Yes.
And I remember doing that. I called a bunch of people and I was just like, hi, this is like what I'm looking for in like a lab, in a lab environment. And some people were like, yeah, you're not going to get that in this particular lab. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And then I cross a name off my list and I go to the next one. And, you know, you just mm-hmm. reformulate once you get here. So I don't know. I think if you have a list before, like, don't be scared of changing it and trying new things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would your advice be for, you know, trying to work with or rotate with a brand new faculty? Because you went through that, Amanda.
Yeah. Well, didn't we all went through that?
Yeah.
Did you rotate with new faculty?
Sort of. Alistair's the newest person on my list, but he had students rotating before.
He had pipette tips.
Yeah, we still don't have pipette tips.
What?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we borrow from the lab. Oh, well, there's a plastic shortage or something. Mm-hmm. I think if you're rotating with a new lab, it's like there's brand new faculty, which like a lot of, especially UCSD hired like a bunch of people this year for mm-hmm. some reason. If you're trying to rotate with the new people, email them early, say what you're interested in. Like if you saw their website or whatever, say like, this is kind of why I was interested in you. Can we talk about possible projects that would fit mm-hmm. in the rotation time frame? And like, you'll probably have to put it later in the rotation and kind of be flexible with that. Like I told my PI that was like the brand new faculty, I was like, I can do fifth rotation, but if you need me to move it to six, so you have like another 6 weeks to get your life together, let me know. And we kind of planned a project that I could maybe feasibly do in 6 weeks that didn't super rely on mm-hmm. everything else being set up. Like it was like,
yeah,
do research, design this thing on your computer.
Yes.
And then present it to me and then we'll go from there. And it was like very doable. So if you want to work with someone, you can. You just need to like talk to them. Communication, mm-hmm. communication. It's like big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think like patience.
Yes.
Was a big thing.
Yes.
Like as you can tell, both our labs when we rotated in those new labs did not have pipette. No. So like actually getting to the point where you could do the said project that you had planned out might be a little difficult, but then you can fill that time with getting to know the PI. I mean, obviously it's just you and that person in the lab. So I think I was able to form like a professional connection with mm-hmm. the new PI mm-hmm. that I rotated with. And mm-hmm. because of that, although I didn't join the lab, I just didn't see myself joining a new lab after all. I think I'd see him as a mentor throughout my PhD journey, which is really nice.
Yeah. And I will say also during my time, it was just me and him during the rotation. Mm-hmm. And when I was having the conversation with him about joining his lab and like if I would be welcome or whatever, I was telling him, I know you. I know who you are as a person.
Yeah.
We sat and did math for an hour. Like, I know how you're going to interact with me and how you're going to treat me when things don't go right or if I don't understand something. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, it's kind of like, I only see them during lab meeting or during like our 30-minute one-on-one meetings. Mm-hmm. So like, I have so much more exposure and understanding of what I'm walking into because we had so much more time to build our professional connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is nice. I think although I didn't join the lab, it was one of, I guess, the rotations I learned the most about myself. Oh, sorry. And also was able to help the new PI because it's their first time being a PI.
Like, they like are trying to do their best.
Yeah. and there's things that maybe they didn't have during their PhD that nowadays is like good. Like, I helped him log on to Slack and make his own Slack channel. And I was like, you should probably get a Google Drive for the lab and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was nice seeing the birth of a lab, I guess.
Yeah.
The birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is very cool. That's one of the things that I really liked about working in startups before coming here, because we got to decide so much that, you know, becomes a big part of the lab environment. I remember we were choosing between different types of electronic lab notebooks at my first internship. Mm-hmm. And everyone was just like, oh, we kind of use whatever in grad school. And then I was there out of undergrad, still learning a bunch of stuff. But then that was something that I just said, you know, I use this thing and it worked really well. Here, let me show you. And I got put on like the benchling selection committee type thing where we like sat down and talked to like different vendors and like talk about prizes. And I got to learn like that process of maybe not every lab is going to be this extreme because this was biotech and things are more expensive for them. But yeah, I got to really like understand the ins and outs of things.
It's nice.
So yeah, I'm glad I got to do that. And now we still use Benchling. Yes, Benchling, sponsor us.
LOL. We can hit them up. Okay, so rotations, you got it. I believe in you. Send the email. Mm-hmm. Don't be scared. But also read the website. Like, don't be like, you seem cool. Like, just be like, oh, this research that you're doing. And like, ask to hear about what's going on currently in the lab. Mm-hmm. Either in your email, just be like, oh, I'm interested in this paper that I read from your lab. I'm curious where it is now and like what kind of projects you have going on now. Mm-hmm. And then like, ask for coffee or meeting or Zoom.
Yeah.
And then like, they'll talk about it then.
Yeah. The norm here is definitely to meet in, well, over Zoom nowadays, but. Or
it won't
person.
Be
yeah,
next
yeah, yeah,
year.
Yeah. But if it isn't the norm everywhere else, make sure to meet them in person at least once.
I go to their office or something.
Yeah. Because you can definitely feel the vibes off the first meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually rotated in a lab where I never talked to the... I never like Zoom met with the PI. She like handed me off to the postdoc. Mm-hmm. And then I like met with the postdoc and I was like, oh, I'll be okay here because like I trust the postdoc. But like it was kind of wild that I like never... She never saw my face. Yeah. She was like, yeah, come in my lab. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So after you got settled in rotations, classes, we have a quarter system. So we have maybe a lot more classes than some people. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is that grad classes are not like undergrad classes at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The learning is so different, I think.
At least for us. I've heard of some schools that like treat grad classes as like advanced undergrad still and everything's multiple choice. But hopefully your grad classes are more like discussion based, smaller groups, creating things, taking ownership of things, pitching ideas.
Mm-hmm. So most of our classes were not like multiple choice tests or like homework assignments or like practice worksheets. Like most of our stuff was we read a paper, we come in class, we talk about it, we go through the figures. That's like the biggest thing is like know what the figures are saying, print it out, get your little iPad, annotate it, like do whatever you need to do. But like when they pull up and say, can someone walk through figure one, like just have your little notes and be like, in panel A they're saying this, the green is this, the yellow is this, next one, you know, like that's like what you need to do to get your points.
Yeah.
And then you're good.
Yeah. I think a thing that I learned during classes was to get really good at presenting on the fly, like reading the paper in a very brief way, getting the main points and being like, these are the main points to everyone else, and just trusting that you got it.
Work smart,
not hard.
Yes. So like I think when I read a paper, I do like read the abstract, read the background, I look at the figures, the results. Sometimes the middle parts of the results don't need to be said. Like they introduce what they're looking for in the first two sentences and then they summarize the results in the last two sentences. And then you can keep it moving through the paragraphs. And then some discussion and then like you're good.
Yeah. And if the paper is dense, and not in a field that you know. Sometimes popcorn reading with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That got us through.
That was so cute too.
Yeah. It was, I think we read one paragraph at a time each. Yeah. And then we like taught, like summarized like what they were saying, or we would say like, oh, I don't understand. Like, are they saying this? And then read back to the figure. Like, okay, we got it. Move on. Like, it doesn't need to be hard, but it might be. Who knows?
Yeah.
What your school
is like. Thought that the readings were really hard, at least for me, because I got so used to like having an agenda before finding the paper and then use very specific things from the paper to do my experiment or like get the job done in industry. So when I came here, I was just like, okay, now I have to learn everything that I never thought about before for years and years. And I have to go through figures. I have to read the introduction and reread them and like try to remember what anything means. So if you're also like non-traditional or you took a little while and got like super zoomed in into a field, like it might take a little bit to come back and, you know, try to like be open-minded about different things that you get exposed to hopefully in your first year. So you sort of have like a broad set of skills and foundation.
Speaking from someone who I guess we're technically, I don't know, coming straight to undergrad isn't traditional anymore. At least I don't feel, but maybe, I don't know. It's like pretty half and half. It's what
they consider traditional.
Traditional, yeah.
Yeah.
No one teaches you how to read a paper in undergrad, or at least no one taught me. Like, sat down and was like, this is what you read. No. Da, da, da. They teach you how to present.
Yeah.
They teach you how to pipette. They don't teach you how to read.
I think that's one skill that you kind of pick up as you go, or you're like, that you're expected to pick up as you go, like going through journal clubs and stuff. And if you're, like, my lab in undergrad didn't really have journal clubs.
I mean, mine didn't really either.
So it's like, yeah, it was a little tough, but I think it took me a little while to get it. But, like, I think now I'm at a place, and, like, reading for class is different than reading for your experiments and reading for like your rotation stuff. So like the way I read papers for class is still very different from how I read to like actually gain knowledge. But if you're in class, like you're going to have a lot to do. So like don't make yourself do more work than necessary to like keep up with the conversation. And one of the biggest things is don't be afraid to say that you didn't understand something. Like I think that took me a while too to be like, oh, like, figure A is saying this, but one thing I didn't get was what this is saying here. Like, can we walk through that together? And I think opening it up as like, oh, can we talk about this? Like, you don't have to feel dumb about it. These papers are hard and dense, and if it's a field that you are not familiar with, like, don't feel bad about it. But like, I think it's like an easier way to ease into it than being like, oh, I don't know anything. Like, no one knows anything. That's why we're in school. We're here to learn. Exactly. If you knew anything, you would have a PhD already. So like,
dang. Facts.
We love a good I don't know.
Yeah.
But
let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's walk through this. That's the whole thing is like, you cannot know, but like you have to be willing to learn or like try to figure it out. Like, I think that's the point.
I'm getting very meta vibes about this. I wish people would say, here's what I understand. Here's what I don't understand. Not just in papers, but when it comes to literally any situation. Yeah.
It's like almost
this would reduce a lot of would reduce a lot of social problems.
Oh, girl. Yeah. We don't have to talk about that. We'll talk about
that later. What about classes that were less literature heavy, more assignment? Like bioinformatics?
Oh, bioinformatics was tough for me. I left bioinformatics for the weekend, and then every Saturday morning, I like almost had a breakdown because I was like stressed.
But you're so good now.
I'm like really good at it now. Yeah, I can ggplot, bro. Ggplot 2 parenthesis, or is it arrow? Arrow parenthesis.
Make that the intro.
Data comma aesthetics.
Aesthetics.
X Y. Point size.
You tell them.
Alpha equals, I don't know.
Q equals. That's what I care about.
But yeah, I think there's like bioinformatics, biostat stuff where you have like actual homework that you have to do. And then there's like making presentations with groups. I think those are like kind of two different ways to tackle that.
That's what got me, bro.
The group presentations? There were so many
Zooms. To do a
Yeah.
Like one class we were presenting either once every week or twice a week, the amount of hours on Zoom.
And they were all group presentations, which I think you heard us talk about this class before in one episode or another. But yeah. So Osama, do you have any tips for maybe, like, I don't know, how did you tackle non-reading work, like doing homework and assignments and other stuff?
I feel like this is an unpopular way of approaching assignments, but I'm like a slow and steady person when it comes to any kind of work. So I will like do a little bit at a time, but like maybe every day. So if it's like a big writing assignment, like grand writing or something, I will make myself sit down and give myself like 30 minutes to word vomit. And then next day, give myself 30 minutes to like, okay, let's reorganize this. And then, you know, as I approach the deadline, I'll have a better sense of like, okay, what needs to be done. And someday, like when that 30 minutes is up, I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I think I take a similar approach to things that are more like problem set based type things. Like, for example, bioinformatics, I would tell myself that I will do 6 problems today and then I'll be done and then next one. But I think it gets harder when it comes to creating presentations because with a method like that, it's almost like, okay, is it good enough? Do I animate it in a different way? Do I organize this? I know. So another strategy I think about is, how much does this matter? Am I being graded on this?
Yes.
Is this a journal club where everyone attending already knows and respects who I am as a scientist? So I don't have to like, you know, it's not like a job talk where stakes are high. Yeah, so I try to, I try to be realistic with my time because, I think what takes me a lot of time is like when I do the bare minimum and then I'm like, aesthetics. And then next thing I know, it's like 15 hours in. And I'm like, no, this is a 20-minute presentation where I'm not being graded on, so I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I think there was maybe one point, or maybe it's always been the case, where you guys would ask, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, homework. And you're like, again?
Your answer to being like, homework every single time I asked is like, what homework? Because we have the same homework.
I always felt like you were always working. And I'm like,
what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. Like, should I be doing something?
What assignment
right now?
Am I not doing that I should be doing? But I think it's because I just sit down, get it done.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't work like that. I think I get really stressed, especially, I think there was one biostats assignment that was like, due in 3 days. And I'm like, no, how am I going to reallocate all of my other times that I already booked throughout the day? So when things have like really fast turnaround time, I get stressed. Mm-hmm. So I try to like spread like everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that way I don't forget about them too. Cause I'm like, oh, I've been thinking about this for so many days.
Yeah. I sit there, put on headphones, scream, and then do my stuff.
That's one way to do it. That is definitely how I did bioinformatics.
I think how I did biostats.
Yeah. I think when I was in biostats, so I took bioinformatics winter and then I did biostats spring. And like I got my life together for like 4 or 5 weeks. I micromanaged my time basically. Like I would on either Sunday night or Monday morning, sit through, look through, like pull up my like Apple calendar on my laptop in the week view. And I have things color coded. So I have like my meetings in green. I have my homework in this like brownish color. Mm-hmm. I have like
my meetings
time.
Are in green too.
Oh, are we the same person?
No.
And then I have like me time and like a different thing. And if I have like house chores, I would even schedule time for me to do house chores. Like, oh, do laundry during this time. Mm-hmm. And then I would break up. Like if I had writing assignments, I would do like, okay, give myself an hour and a half on Monday and give myself an hour and a half on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And like, it should be done by then. But if not, I like know I have time Thursday morning to kind of play around and like finish anything I don't have.
Yeah.
And like all of my stuff was on time. I didn't forget about any biostats assignment, which after I stopped micromanaging my time, I forgot like 3 assignments.
I was about to ask.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like I took those
two weeks off. Yeah.
And that like messed up my entire like life togetherness was removing myself from like my schedule here and going back to like a different time zone. It like, I was like in a tornado for like, I'm still recovering, but like classes are over now, so it's fine. But
I have to submit my IA preferences.
I still haven't done that.
Ooh.
Stressed.
Stressed. I'm not. I submitted it because that's who I am. I like do it first. And then, of course, in a classic me fashion, today I like went in and changed it again. Will I do that tomorrow? Maybe.
Probably. Yeah. It's okay.
It happens.
But yeah. So that's, I would recommend the micromanaging my time, like assigning myself time that I have to do something really kept me accountable.
Yeah.
And I got everything done pretty much early. Like I overestimated how much everything would take me to do. And like, I even made sure I was done by like 6 or 7 and like everything after 8 o'clock was for me and like to hang out with my friends or watch some show.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like we were watching, I think Love Island or hang out with my, like FaceTime my family. Like, so I even had that scheduled. And you can kind of see like, oh, am I neglecting myself this week?
Yeah.
Should I compensate on Saturday? Like, you know. So I thought that was really good for me.
Yeah.
Oh, also I have this app on my computer. I have a Mac in the App Store. It's called Flow. And it's like this like timer and it does, it's like a Pomodoro.
Pomodoro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the Pomodoro method.
The tomato method.
Yeah. And it was like, it's really good. It's like sits in your bar, like where like your battery life and stuff is. So you can kind of always see it. Yeah. I have my, it was like on a break the last time I used it, but like you can set how long your work time is and how long your breaks are. And if it does like work, short break, work, short break, work, short break, work, short break. And then you get a long break.
Yeah.
So it's like, depending on how long you do, it's kind of like 2 hours. And it's like, that really helped me. Like when I have to go like read papers in depth or when I was doing bioinformatics and I had to sit down for like 4 hours and do something like that really got me through it. Cause I was like, okay, like I only have to focus for another 12 minutes and then I can pick up my phone. Okay. Another 7 minutes. We're good. Okay. Like I was just like aware of like, I'm slowly going to get through this. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Just like push one more time and then you can pick up your phone.
Yes. For some reason, this reminded me of like, you know, when you're doing whatever in lab, there's like the incubation step or you have to wait for something to be done and then you like cannot do the next step without it. I have started taking advantage of that. For example, I was doing a PCR that's like 2 hours and I'm like, okay, in those 2 hours, I'm going to take my laptop, go to the patio, do my writing. When it's done, I'm done. So
that's really great.
Or I'm sure some of you do this too with like laundry or like, you know, waiting for things to cook. So if you feel like integrating like short bursts of work into whatever you're already doing, and if that's like helpful for you, then I personally find it very satisfying because I feel like, look, I'm doing two things at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what really like messed me up this quarter is when I eat food, that is sacred time for me. I am not doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a class
during
lunchtime.
Rude. Yeah.
That sucked.
And it like would mess my entire
And our
day.
Camera has to be on.
And our camera had to be on.
People are just going to watch me eat this apple. That's what's up. Like,
yeah.
That's just it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So for me, it's like I just have like times when that's I'm doing something to myself.
You don't have to be working all the time.
Yeah. Wait, in undergrad, would you like eat in class?
I would snack in class. But well, I also wasn't really paying attention.
We had a really good dining hall.
Oh, I like wasn't on the dining hall plan after. Like in my senior year especially. Mm. I brought my own food.
Nice.
So if I went to the dining halls, I wasn't taking anything. I was taking me, myself, and my appetite.
That's LOL.
Nice.
I used to, in my freshman year, I used to go because it was like a swipe thing. So I would go in the morning on days I didn't have class till the afternoon and just sit in there.
Yes.
Get breakfast and lunch.
Yes.
Do work in between.
One swipe.
Exactly.
Yes. I used to be a tour guide and I would tell people that. I'm like, you can live here. There's different couches. There's different like types of food.
You could. You don't have to leave.
This is when the omelet bar
opens.
They
kick
you out. Oh, no.
They never kick you out. I plugged like my laptop in and everything, bro. I was chilling.
Yeah. Unlimited coffee. Hello. Yeah.
The syrup.
What
the
a life.
Whipped cream.
What a life.
Dang. They're stingy over there at UCLA.
I guess so.
But they're really good. So maybe that's
it
why.
It is really good, yeah.
Because otherwise they would be
letting you stay there.
I think they clean in between. Like,
oh,
that's good.
Heavily. So maybe that's why.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Maybe my dining hall wasn't as clean as it should have been.
Oh, no.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Because it would be closed for like an hour or two between.
Were they cleaning the stations? I think they rotated stations.
Yeah. So, like, but they would like clean all the tables and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Couldn't be us.
I think so. I don't know.
Anyways.
Anyways, okay.
Biggest thing about classes is grades don't matter. It's true. Do the work. You are going to get at least a B. Just do the work. Turn in the work. Read the papers a little bit. Say something during discussions.
Not naming names, but people that are a level above us have said grad classes should be pass, no pass.
I agree that they should be pass, no pass.
It's true. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I remember when I was an undergrad and I was worried about class or something, and Phil, my grad mentor, was just like, don't worry about it. Just like learn what you need and just like move on, and you'll figure out what you like and then you can go do that. And then I was like, okay, what's your GPA? And he's like, 4.0. And I'm like, what? You're so smart. Like, you're a PhD, you have 4.0, you ace every single test, everything. And he's like, it's not what you think.
No.
But for now, just do your best.
Yeah, I definitely, well, maybe like it's our grad program. Like, I feel like I was ready to be taking tests and like.
Yeah, people do take tests.
Going in on molecular bio.
Yikes.
And it was just kind of like, not that. Which is fine.
About learning biochem again.
I did not want to learn the amino acid bases. And like, they're like, I know, I knew some people that like they had, or at least their lab mentors, like made them memorize the letters and like the three mm-hmm. letters and then their shapes, you know, the chemical
yeah.
stuff. Like, I don't.
Not me.
I know ATCG.
And you?
I know lysine. I know.
Oh.
Serine. Is that one? Adenosine, acetylation is a different thing.
Adenosine is something else.
What do you mean adenosine is something else? That's a letter.
That's not an amino acid.
No, it's
what is adenosine? What is A? Adenine. What is adenosine?
The A in a.
The A in what?
Is it
ATCG?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No. The what? Wait, adenine, thymine, cytosine, guanine. That's the code for me. What is?
Is that adenosine? An ATP?
Adenosine is an A.
You just said it was adenine.
No, adenine is the A in the other.
ATP.
I don't know, bro.
And the A in your ATCG is the same thing. That's what my PI said. They're the same ones.
Okay, then we're right. Yeah.
Then we're both right.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
Why do they sound different? Why do they have different?
Anyway.
This is why I didn't want to learn in a class.
So, yeah.
My PS is going to listen to this and he's going to be like, oh, shit, she doesn't know.
Yeah. I know.
It's okay. Don't judge.
I might. Yeah.
We're learning.
We are.
Okay, yeah. Grades don't matter. Just read enough to get you through the class.
But you should learn.
Actually try to learn. But yeah. Like, don't hurt yourself in the process. There's so much stress in trying mm-hmm. to do school and rotate and work and do everything. Mm-hmm. Like, don't burn yourself out on reading a paper that you're only going to talk about for 30 minutes.
Yeah. And hopefully most of the time your professors know that.
Yeah.
Great.
Most of the time.
Yeah. And then finals are usually either take-home tests.
Yeah.
We haven't had like a multiple choice anything. It's like either long answer or like write a paper, write a proposal, write a specific aims thing. So like be ready for that. My writing, I think, has gotten so much better. So, yay. Which I guess is the point of this whole thing. But like I look back at like my first semester writing and I was like, dang, girl, we could do a lot better now, which is like great. Like to be able to like see that, like your own growth is like.
But nice. Scientific writing is its own.
Like, it's its own art.
Craft. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I so always
don't be so hard on yourself.
I know. But like, I think I've always been like, I don't know about insecure about my writing, but like I always excelled at everything else. And like for like the standardized tests in Florida, I always got a 4 out of 6 on like the writing test, like every single one since the fourth grade, like since they first start giving them to you. And I was always like, oh, like I'm not like a great writer. But then I don't know, my PI, we were like going through something and he's like, oh, I'm so excited to write with you. Like you really have great thoughts and stuff. And I was like,
yay.
Maybe I am a good writer, you know? Abolish standardized testing.
I know, for real.
But yeah, so any other thoughts on classes?
Mm-mm.
No, great.
How about choosing a lab? I know we've like given a lot of tips already.
We did like 3 episodes on choosing a lab.
We can just give
The most important thing that you feel about went into the choosing a lab, go.
I said this on the other episode, but out of everyone in the lab, your PI is the main person that's going to be there all throughout your PhD. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully, bro. Sometimes.
True. You know? Life happens.
So choose a lab that has a PI that you, for lack of a better word, vibe with. And you know that they're going to be in your corner whether things are going right or whether things are going wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really important.
Yes. Osama?
I want to say the same thing.
Retweet. Yeah.
Okay. Retweet. Amanda.
quote tweet. yeah. I think the biggest thing is yes, finding the mentor. I think the mentorship, you really have to evaluate why you are in grad school. Are you in grad school to be trained as a scientist? Are you in grad school to network so you can open a business? Are you in grad school to do X, Y, Z? Like, figure that out and then base your lab decision on that. For me, it was, I want to be a good on my feet. I feel like I can do anything when I get out of this program. And that was like what I was pushing for in a mentor, someone who's going to like really build me up and help me grow. Mm-hmm. So like that's it. And also someone you feel comfortable talking to if something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're not scared to be like, I
inhaled.
Yeah. Well, like now the postdoc in my lab is kind of like shy still.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she didn't get that like 6 weeks of just hanging out with her and the PI. So like,
yeah, this she's is her
like,
job.
Oh, maybe we should get a lab phone. But she was like scared to say something. I was like, oh, like I put them in a group chat. Yo, can we get a lab phone? Like, or like, hey,
a lab phone?
Yeah, like so we can call like the extensions within
vendors?
The yeah, and vendors, like they're trying to get like a cryostat and stuff, and they're like, mm-hmm. enter a phone number. I'm like, I'm not gonna give them myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just like you wanna feel comfortable, and like maybe you won't feel that the same way I do, because I got to spend a lot of extra time with them because it was just us. But like,
yeah,
if you're in your lab meetings and you feel like, oh, like I don't know if I would say what I want to say to this person, like maybe evaluate why that is and if that might change or how you can change that.
Yeah. So true.
Nice. Oh, I feel like retweet. So much more knowledgeable after first year.
We're second year student.
We're rising to-
That's why you're recruitment chair, right?
I hope it goes. I'm stressed.
Oh, no.
It's not until February.
I know.
No, it's exciting. Yeah, it is exciting. Talk to prospective students.
Yeah.
You have to sound so wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone looks up to you.
Yes.
Which, as a person of color leading recruitment, I'm hyped.
Yeah.
But I'm also stressed.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who led our recruitment.
Liv.
No, it was, I forgot her name.
Our year.
But.
A third year?
I think her name was Jenny. Don't quote me. It might not be. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't. I really like. I.
But I think it was also PSC.
Yeah. Yeah. I like blanked on the whole experience.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I know that she went to Wellesley.
Is that it's matter? The little things?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else? Is there any
I think
other
making friends?
Oh yeah, making Push friends.
Oh.
I think this is.
There
like,
was one dumbass, and they met another. Oh.
That is true.
I mean. Yeah, but we're smart.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that has helped me is having friends that are like going through it with me. Mm-hmm. Trauma bonding? Question mark.
Oh, no.
I mean, you're talking all this shit about trauma bonding.
I watched like a
bonding.
Series of TikToks about trauma bonding, and I was like, wow, this is true.
That's where you get information from.
Yes. Yeah. TikTok.
Yeah, well. Me and Amanda have one brain cell, so.
That's true.
No!
maybe we have two, but maybe like two. They locate together. They like co-locate in one brain or the other.
But Asawa, do you have any tips?
On making friends?
Yeah, because friends? You had hella friends. I feel like you
Yeah,
know,
I feel like you have hella friends, bro.
Maybe
I feel like that's just how I made friends in like undergrad at like at work. I have like friends in different corners of places. And rather than having like a huge friend group, I'm more of like, okay, I do this with this person, or like I'm going to get coffee one-on-one with this other person and sort of have mostly like independent time, but also like have friends in different corners. Like yeah. we're even friends with the citrus farmer at the La Jolla Farmers Market. Like my partner and I would go and buy fruits like citrus and like guavas and whatever her farm has like every weekend since like January. And last week I finally asked what her name was and we've been given like free fruits many, many times before.
I love so. That.
That's cute.
Yeah, because I think that was really important, especially during quarantine. Like, it's so hard not to, you know, see people in, like, a big lecture hall or, yeah. like, go to do things together. And I was telling my advisor this, that I'm, like, recovering from, like, or I'm starting to feel social anxiety kicking in, where before I would have, like, a large, like, friend bubble that I never felt like I was alone, even when I was like working at a different job or like doing different activities that maybe, you know, it's not for this friend, but for the other friend. So we learn in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, welcome to my therapy session.
You're a social butterfly though.
I feel like it's like, oh, I went to do this with this person. I went to go do this with this person. We're like, Osama and this person are friends.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where they're hanging out one-on-one. Like I was just like,
me, it's like, hi, Amanda, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then she says she's busy. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not doing anything.
Well, like, I think, yeah, I think my entire life, I like found two or three people and like that was like my friend group.
Yeah.
And like maybe sometimes I'll branch out, but it's like,
yeah,
I'll branch out to people that are like sitting next to me in class and stuff. But like, if I want to go do something, I'm going to ask my two or three friends
because like,
that's who I feel really comfortable with. And like, I like them a lot, obviously. So I want to go do fun stuff with them. So like that's what I do.
Yeah. I don't know. I say I'm shy. I think I'm shy.
What?
People will disagree.
I do the exact opposite. I'm like, oh, I'm an extrovert. And then sometimes I'm like, I really don't want to talk to anyone new.
No.
Like, leave me alone.
Like, the initial speaking to someone, I'm stressed. Or like, for example, if people invite us out and Amanda's not going and me having to think about like meeting new people by myself, so scary.
<No. laughs>
But if I'm with someone that I've already like broken out of my shell with, say like Osama or Amanda, I feel more empowered to just be myself.
I think the biggest tip on making friends is don't be scared to ask people for like their phone number or like, oh, hey, like we're in this class together. Like, do you want to study together? Or like, oh, do you want to work at the same time in the library or on Zoom or whatever. Like, don't be scared to do that. Everyone else also just got here. They don't have friends. Or maybe they do, but like, whatever. Like, now you have a new friend.
Say hi to them when you see them.
Say hi.
I mean, that's a big thing. Like, if someone recognizes me while I'm walking and says hi to me, I'm like, hey. Oh, hi.
Invite them to boba. That's a thing here.
Like, go.
Or to Rough
Draft. To Rough Draft. Or like, I think it's just like little things. Like, just start with little stuff. Like, you don't have to have like a whole beach day or anything, which is like, oh, like I was gonna go to get pizza, you want to come? Like, and then any other tips on making friends? Oh, follow them on Instagram and reply to their IG stories.
I was gonna say, like, it's also okay if you just take a little bit to make friends. Like, it's still fine to like schedule a call with your old friend, like, you know, just like how you would call your family if you already do that. And just like, go easy on yourself if you're not sure who's who and what's going on.
It's a big transition, and I don't think I've like fully come into like, oh, I mean, like, I moved across the country, you moved across the country, none of our friends or family are like here, and it's like, oh shit, I'm all alone. What the heck?
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. Lenise goes home like every other weekend. And then she's like, I miss my dad. I miss my mom. And I'm like, girl, I haven't seen my mom in 3 months.
And then she would send a picture of her like snuggling with her mom. And I'm like,
I stay snuggling.
Good for you. Like, I'm kidding. I'm really happy for you. I'm glad you
have
that.
Very attached.
No. You guys are my like, oh, I need like my family vibes.
Yeah. Like, you guys are always welcome. My parents always ask for you.
Maybe we come. Now things are open. Everyone's vaccinated. Maybe.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I want
will they feed me?
Yes.
Let us hear from our sponsor for one last time. Also, you guys sold out Midnight Honey. which, yes, very exciting, but I went to go buy some and there were none left. And I had to message them and be like, yo, when is this restocking? Because I need like three more.
I'm so happy for them.
So that's really lovely. Please continue to buy from saintedfactory.com if you want luxurious skincare products, exfoliating scrubs. I'm just gonna take that as a word from our sponsor. Go to saintedfactory.com. Go to saintedfactory on Instagram.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone. Before we say goodbye,
let's just say one thing that we liked, I guess, about our experience so far. Positive notes.
Not me first.
Amanda first.
Okay. One thing I liked is I learned a lot. That seems obvious, but I don't know. I feel like I'm a completely different person than I was at the beginning of this program. And like, that's the point, but it's kind of nice to reflect on that and be like, wow, like I'm really doing something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I am more confident in my skills to do science, and also not to be ooey gooey or anything.
Well, here we go.
But I'm also like, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be friends with you guys forever. I'm like very happy.
It's the trauma bonding.
Yeah, it really is. Osama?
Well, I agree with both of y'all on those points. Another thing that I was surprised by was in undergrad and industry, I didn't really think about how I explain what I do to people, because most of the times it's like, oh, I can't tell you this. It's like super secret. But these days when, you know, I go to like a little picnic, or like when I call my mom explaining transfection the other day, I was just like realizing the words that I'm saying. And she's like, I don't get that. So it has made me more,
You're doing great.
More, mindful of how I explain what I'm doing, and being more mindful of like my audience and like the impact of what I say, what that has on like who's listening. Because especially like, you know, people say the pandemic is over, but I think it's still very much ongoing. And like,
the governor think so. Stop. The governor said no masks.
Yeah, it is like at its height in Thailand right now. So like when I talk to people, like I'm not just saying it because I'm not just talking about my virus research because like, this is what I do, but also like, hey, this is what it means. So I'm feeling good about this whole PhD training thing. Like I want.
It's like you're actually getting trained. Wow. We're learning. What?
And that's on science communication.
That is on science communication.
And education.
BGGN 205.
Wow. You remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you just blink it from your mind as soon as it ended?
Of course not. Oh. Okay. Plot twist. Lanise is going to ask the question of the week.
Question of the week is, how many PhD students in our study are excited for a summer in San Diego?
It's so nice here. I'm actually really excited.
It was kind of warm today and I was like, yes.
Gonna go to the beach almost every day. I'm like at the point where I'm putting a bathing suit in the back of my car and we're just gonna vibe.
I think that's where I'm at too.
Oh my gosh. Wait, does anyone know when the fire season starts? So because I remember that was awful.
But it is watermelon season and grape season begins July 15th. So y'all pack your bags.
July 15th?
July 15th.
Wow.
It's a little early.
That's the day after my mom's birthday.
Yeah.
We go into Napa maybe.
Cute. Ooh, oh, it'd be great for the grapes.
The grapes.
It would be grape.
Oh, no.
Anyways.
Yes, I am. So excited.
Yeah.
Me too.
Wonderful. So 100% of the PhD students in our study are excited to start our first full summer in San Diego.
Yes. Woo. Yay.
And with that, follow us on stuff.
And that stuff that you can follow us on is Twitter and Instagram at triplicatespod. And you can email us triplicatespod@gmail.com or DM us, really. Any questions you want to ask, if you want to suggest someone on the show for next season.
People have already been like emailing about like, oh, you should would ask be this great. Person.
And oh I'm my like, God. Oh.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Once you get a break. And if you like us, you can also support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod. And with that,
obrigada. Ciao.
Gracias y adiós.
Bye.